Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Did you see in the papers yesterday that the Dublin City University, DCU, became Ireland's first designated autism-friendly campus following a study carried out which identified difficulties and discomforts experienced by students with autism? And on the line now to tell us more, we have Dr. Mary Rose Sweeney. She's a senior lecturer in health systems research in the School of Nursing and Human Sciences in DCU. And you're very welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you, Jackie. Good morning.
I am so excited to be talking to you this morning because I think this is something that's really long overdue. But first of all, congratulations. So as I have to say that, DCU and all those involved in the news, there was an 18-month program to lay the foundation for this. Can you tell us about the process?
Yeah, sure. So over the last 18 months, we have looked at what Dublin City University is providing to students in this area. So we did a big scoping exercise. And then we also did an international literature review. So we looked at what other universities are doing in this space. And then we basically did a whole campus consultation. So we talked to students with autism attending DCU, and we talked to the whole student body, and we talked to the academics who teach there, and all the support staff from across the multi-sites that make up DCU. And we did a sensory audit. That was a really important part of it as well. So we actually did a walk around the campus with some students with autism, and they pointed out things to us that were really annoying to them or really distracting to them or things that could cause sensory overload. So we put all that together, and we now have a really good picture of the types of struggles that they encounter every day.
Well,
that's how we informed then the eight principles that we developed and the 43 actions that are part of our plan going forward for the next 3 years.
Well, Mary Rose, can you talk to us about the challenges that people with autism face at a third level? I think, you know, people just don't even realize what kind of challenges these people are facing.
Yeah. So, I mean, transitioning to university is a hurdle for every student. And there's a new situation, there's new people, there's new deadlines, there's greater autonomy and decisions to be made. But if you're somebody who struggles with, socializing and maybe communicating with others, and then you have that sensory overload issue as well, where there's, a hustle and bustle or noise can be an issue for you, then that can lead to loads of additional challenges for these students. So in the research, we found that, loneliness and isolation is a big issue for them. Because they find it difficult to initiate a conversation, or, they might just not be as good at being in a group as others, they can encounter then issues because of that. That can lead to them being isolated, which of course then can lead to depression and anxiety. They also have fears about disclosing their diagnosis. So then they have trouble actually taking up the supports that are offered, because even some of them were nervous of disclosing to the disability services. And then they struggle with group work, which is a big part of university life. They can struggle with lab work because, there's a lot of noise there and, you can be under time pressure. They have trouble keeping a routine and getting into a good study routine. And time management is another issue where they need support. And then filtering information. So they're just so much information now on the internet about every topic, and if you want to sort of refine that down to what you need to know for your program of study, that's an additional challenge for them.
Wow, so you've really thought this through. You can tell that, you can tell a lot of thought has gone into this. I remember reading in the article yesterday that, and you mentioned it there, that some students don't really like to disclose the fact that they have autism. So how are you going to rise to that challenge? How will you be able to provide services in a way, in a discreet way, but in a way that they can be accessed by people who need them?
Yeah, so we're actually going to conduct a review of the process for disclosure in DCU. So that is one arm. But the other arm is that we want to, make it acceptable to be in DCU and to have autism, so that that isn't going to be something to be embarrassed about or to be stigmatized anymore. And even all of the conversation that's been going on in DCU for the last 18 months as part of this, I've already seen evidence that that is changing. So, staff
That's
members
great.
Have come up to me and said, I wouldn't have felt I could have said this before to anybody, but, I have two kids with autism. And, now they can say it.
Yeah.
So I think even the conversation, the raising of awareness and knowledge across the whole community we'll make that much easier for people.
And I can imagine that peer support is going to be a big part of this. How are you going to implement that? Will there be peer support, and how will that work?
Yeah, peer support would be amazing because, I mean, I think every student feels more comfortable if they have a question, asking the person beside them. You know, it's much more comfortable than asking your lecturer. So we're actually going to pilot something that is widely used in the US, and it's called the Buddy Model. So we will offer training to appropriately trained students. So I think they will be from a postgraduate course. So we'll say somebody who already has a degree in psychology or a degree in nursing or some other health discipline where they would have a good understanding of the underlying condition. Mm-hmm. We will offer them training then in becoming a peer mentor. And basically that's just to be present for the other student, to help them with questions they have, or if they need, you know, if they don't know where they're meant to be, just to direct them, or, you know, just simple help, but it'll be really effective, I think.
What a great program. You're currently leading further projects in the area of autism. Can you tell us about them?
Okay. So, yes, I'm part of a project called the ASDEU project, and that's Autism Spectrum Disorders in the EU. And this is a big project with 12 different countries, which has been running for the last 3 years, and it's actually coming to an end now. But so, yeah, we looked at loads of different things in that project, from prevalence to health services available to aging with autism to the cost of families of having somebody affected with autism. So it's a very wide program, and there should be lots of reports and publications emerging from that mm-hmm. in the next year.
Mm, lovely. And I know you also lead projects, I've been told anyway, that you lead projects concerning nutrition and children. And how important is diet? And can you tell us a little bit about that research as well? Because it sounds very interesting.
Yeah, so I've been involved in looking at school nutrition. That was a project I was doing prior to this one. And we were basically comparing, so this wasn't related to autism now, but, you know, I think there might be some good work to be done there as well, looking at the you know, the dietary intake of children with autism. So in that project, we looked at the composition of school lunches, depending on where it was obtained. So we looked at if you brought lunch in from home, what was the nutrient value versus if you got lunch in the school canteen or in the local shop.
Do I dare ask?
I think you probably know the answer. So the home lunches were definitely nutritionally superior.
Phew.
But they weren't amazing either.
Okay. So there was work to do.
They were mainly white bread sandwiches.
Okay.
With a small bit of squished fruit.
Not too appetizing.
and they were water-based.
Okay.
The drink. Whereas if you were getting it from the canteen, it was more likely to be something fried. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a potato product or a meat product, and it was more likely to accompany a sweet drink, mm-hmm. so like a sugar sweetened orange juice or something.
That makes sense.
And then if you were buying in the shop, that was similar to the school lunch, but usually the portion was bigger. So
okay.
So there is work to be done there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to know that there's people like you, Mary Rose, out there doing this work, because I think this is important work, you know, understanding our nutrition better and how we should be eating and how that affects us in daily life. And seeing this project at DCU, I have to say, you know, I have friends with children with autism, and I know that this kind of support is something that's long overdue, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, already the feedback that I have been getting into my email and by phone this morning, it just shows the level of interest in this project.
Wow.
That's fantastic. And people should feel free to contact me, and I can point in a direction that I'm aware of. That, you know, if it helps, I'm very happy for them to get in touch with me.
How would people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so maryrose.sweeney@dcu.ie is my email address.
Brilliant.
But all the information about the project will be up on the main DCU webpage this morning as well.
Okay, great. And great job you're doing there. Keep up the good work, and wish you all the best with it. Thanks for coming on this
morning. Thanks a million, Jackie.
And telling us what you're up to.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Dr. Rose Mary Sweeney, and she's a senior lecturer in health systems research in the School of Nursing and Human Sciences in DCU. You can go to the DCU website. The information is going to be up there, and what a great job they're doing.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.